Hello and welcome to the Serious Games Podcast, all about playful methods for interactive trainings and facilitation. Let's get started.
And welcome back to the Serious Games Podcast. Well, today, it's an interesting episode because Till and I, we have already recorded a session on the Moonshot game. But there are two things that happened. Number one, Till, I understand, growth, huh? Which is good, lovely. Lots of things happen. New clients. There's now an accelerator program, actually a European accelerator program, I must say, supporting you. And new additions coming up. So we must talk again. And on the other hand, we really wanted to have this episode in English. Huh? So first of all, and for a second time, welcome to the podcast, Till.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, Julian.
And let's dive directly into the Moonshot game. Two things I normally start with. Number one, what shall our listeners know about you? And question number two, how do you explain Moonshot to someone who's hearing this for the first time?
Yeah, hi everyone. My name is Till. I live in North Berlin, so in Prenzlauer Berg. And I have a very big dedication for the subject of where does the new come from? So where does creativity come from? How do we build creative processes a lot better than they used to build? So how can we improve upon brainstorming sessions, which lead into a lot of post-its, but very little ideas. Mm-hmm. And personally, I play soccer, actually. Love that. Mm-hmm. I'm in a football club in Neukölln, and I love any kind of oolong tea. So I'm a huge oolong tea fan, and I've used to live in Taiwan for a time. So my love started there. I'm still a very big tea head.
Wonderful, wonderful. That sounds lovely. Yes, and you speak a lot of languages also. And yes, I remember how you introduced the open space guidelines at Play 14 in Berlin. Yeah, cool. So.
You were asking about Moonshot.
I was wondering if we should talk about other things that your love also to music and the instruments that you play. But let's stick with Moonshot, huh?
Of course, let's do that. So imagine you have an innovation lab, right? A company has an innovation lab, and they try to make a ground. Or have a ground where really new ideas can actually flourish. So you usually have an innovation lab somewhere. You outsource it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work. Certainly, it's quite expensive to lead this and have a lot of supposedly very creative people together. Mm-hmm. Well, Moonshot is kind of an answer to have this in a box. So if you have Moonshot in your company, it's kind of an innovation lab in a box, which helps you come up with quote-unquote Moonshot idea. So yes, Moonshot helps to do more than just improve upon like minuscule problems and do help people come up with groundbreaking ideas.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot. Well, actually, four words to unpack, right? Innovation lab in a box. Actually, it's five words. Huh? So, but Till, let's even start before that idea emerged. I mean, what is your connection to innovation? Or you said you love to understand where good ideas come from. And how is that connected to play? I mean, have you always been a player? What's your initial
play history?
Yes, play history.
I think. So what my relationship to play is that I think playfulness, let's use that term, helps us to look upon the world in a way that we ask the question, how can things be? So it's really a lot of curiosity, which is embedded in this. It's like it helps us to not take everything too seriously. And I have always been very adamant about playing around with people, playing with ideas. I love playing chess. As I said, I play soccer. But I just like to design or like to participate in really well-designed interaction design. And play is just, at the end of the day, it's, the different definitions, but I like the one where it's about that it's selection of meaningful choices. Mm. And up to us is how to create those environments for those meaningful choices. So I've always loved play as a facilitator of interaction and of getting people to interact with each other in a way that makes the interaction very flowy and very fluid and just like more positive overall. So that's my relationship to play.
Wonderful, wonderful. And what's the initial problem that you wanted to solve with, Moonshot? I mean, what was missing in that innovation lab metaphor?
Well, we designed Moonshot as part of the University of Arts Berlin UDK project. So I was a student at the time, and we were given the task to think about was the time of Uber and like Airbnb and like all the startup culture. And so our challenge was like to come up with a playful idea to get a playful idea which interacts with the startup culture, which startup mentality. Okay. And we were then thinking about the traditional way to come up with ideas, which was always and has been for a long time like a very design thinking based focus, right?
Yes.
Like for 20, 25 years, ever since IDEO started saying, hey, we built a recipe for innovation, like a three-step or a five-step or a six-step plan where we talk about this and then we talk about the consumer and then we understand the problem and then we ideate and then we build prototypes. Mm. And I'm never going to claim that this is wrong. I'm just going to say that if everyone cooks by the same recipe and a lot of companies are following the same guideline, a lot of the same results come out. So there are problems with design thinking. And a lot of people aren't aware that you can only do this process if you understand the problem really well. If you don't really understand the problem, following this fixed process, it's very, very dangerous in a way because you try to solve in the end something which has never been the real problem. So we believed we need to play space where interacting in a much more intuitive way with innovation, which is less like this recipe of like step one, step two, step four, where this is possible. So we said like we need to give people a space where quote unquote moonshot thinking, like the coming up with groundbreaking ideas, which you usually don't dare even giving out in a brainstorming session of some sort. Those ideas are important, and the fixed process, which is so rigid, although you can jump back.
Sure.
We think like everybody following this process doesn't help. We built like an ecosystem which engages with coming up with new ideas in an entirely new with a non-linear way. So things can happen at the same time. We don't always ask the question, what does the user need? Because I believe very strongly that first you need to believe, what do you as an employee actually care about before you think about the customer? And so Moonshot is really this anti-rigid innovation approach, which embraces the chaos of the new. So this is what I would say to begin with.
Okay. Wow. And look, I know also in the meanwhile, you know, there's some discussions happening around, you know, design thinking, how rigid is the process, who believes what, but, you know, we can link that in the show notes for anyone who wants to go down that rabbit hole. But what I hear is instead of, you know, asking the client what they want, you know, a faster horse, thinking about what do you really care about, right? Groundbreaking innovation, something new, something that has not been thought yet or built yet, and to make that possible in a flowy, interactive way.
I guess often you have to ask the question, why do companies fail to innovate? And it's not always because they don't understand their customers, because it's often enough because the employees working at those companies don't really care about the company and they don't feel heard, they don't feel seen, they don't really feel like they're part of the innovation process. So therefore, I believed when we designed Moonshot, we need a space where you can just invent, obviously based on a question, we can dive into the actual nitty-gritty things like how does the actual process work, but where you take your people who work for you more seriously and let them develop ideas that are new, that are sometimes weird and strange, and you embrace the strangeness at the very beginning.
I was just thinking, by the time we release this episode, there was also going to be an episode. I'm going to link that in the show notes with Christian Weinert, which I literally just recorded a couple of days ago, about including the employees in the strategy finding and defining process too, right? So maybe we can link those two series game approaches or gamified approaches. Yeah, interesting.
Please.
Wow.
Please.
So I looked up a little bit. It was called the Unicorn Factory. Is that true? At the very beginning.
So you're asking like what was the name before the name
back
started?
In the days, yeah.
That was 2018. 2018, we had the first prototype and we were like, how do we call this? And I told you, it started off with Uber and developing something where Uber could come from. So yeah, we had a challenge between Moonshot, Unicorn Factory, or Glüh die Birne, which means like put light into the light bulb, which is in German for all of you German speakers, which is a very funky name, like Glüh die Birne. They all had similar votes. And luckily my co-founder then decided and say, okay, people, we need to, it sounds snappy. We want to go to the moon. Let's use Moonshot as a brand. And I think I'm very excited we did that.
Wonderful. So I'm gonna link also, you know, of course, the website. Maybe I can put some pictures, right, of the box, literally. But walk us through a little bit. What do you prepare? And when I ask about preparation, I don't only mean that, like, the setup, the materials that you would need to take, but also how do you prepare together with the client? So what type of information would you need to decide or to be sure that Moonshot could be a good next step?
It's kind of the briefing process with the client, right? Mm-hmm. Before we even bring the box, the client first has to agree and say, okay, this is what we want. This is what we need. I usually tell the client the following, like, if you know what you want to solve, if you understand your problem really well, and you just need like a brainstorming session to solve this problem, there are other ways to do this in a lot better way. What I usually tell the client is that Moonshot is an actual game experience, which is very new in this world of serious games. Like, very few serious games feel like a real game you would play with your friends or with your family. So it really is a real game experience. And what that does is that people lose themselves a bit during the game. Like, you have this immersive state of entering this actual magic circle where you're just like, oh, I developed this flower plant pot which is talking whenever it needs water, and I'm an entrepreneur, and like this state where people actually feel like, oh, I own this idea and I care about this. This will be the case, and people will be very motivated, and people will forget that they're doing actually a method, and that has its upsides because it's very immersive, it engages in the flow. But you have to understand that we're not going to solve your problem in one session. If you have a problem, you want to like sell faster cars, you should maybe just do a brainstorming session and we're good. So Moonshot really helps people getting enthusiastic about being part of the innovation process.
Okay.
So once people agree and say, okay, this is what we want to engage people in the long term to be enthusiastic about being part of the innovation process, then the client says that, and I'm like, okay, then let's work together. Because we're not going to solve problems in like 3 hours, and brainstorming sessions are probably the worst way to make people come up with good ideas. But we haven't found a better way. So that's first, I guess, when we talk with the client, it's like making them understand this changes the motivation and mindset of your people towards a very positive approach on innovation. Do you want this? So that's step one.
Got you. And you know, just because you mentioned the series games and the gameful approach, of course there are regular games out there that we do play with our friends and families that we then use in a serious game context because we want to teach a concept or want to make something visible. But still, if you do change the topic, let's say you swap it against terms and learnings from project management, right? Of course, it has an impact on the flowiness, I'm going to steal that word, but it has an impact, right, on the game experience, and obviously it needs a different context, which it has by default if you play it, you know, in a learning or training environment. And then the other way around is also true, right? Sometimes, yes, there are more, I would say, gamified phases of a workshop or a training that make it a little bit lighter, but that are not necessarily, as you said, like a strong, coherent, magic
game experiences.
Circle. Yes, it's just it improves the flowiness, but not in a game sense. So I'm with you on that. Okay. Wow. So let's say we tick that box off, right? The client is ready to engage in such an experience, or to just invite their selected participants to experience that. How close? I mean, would they come with a real organizational challenge now and say yes, and we want to do XYZ? Or is it really open? How does that work?
As I said, if you have a real precise challenge, we can work together, but let's do different tools.
Okay.
If they have a real life challenge, like something we want to sell product XYZ better, I will use like questions from Moonshot and say, we can easily do that. Like, I've been doing ideation for like close to 10 years now. That is not the problem. But what do they actually bring into Moonshot? Well, two possible ways. I give an example, because we worked with Fielmann together. Fielmann is the German glasses brand.
Okay.
We worked together with the product development team from Fielmann. And here the question we started with, which I think is a very good question, is, how does the future of seeing look like? Right? That is a relevant question for Fielmann, especially for a product development team. But it leaves enough leeway, it leaves enough space to come up with ideas within a larger context of frame. It's not like, how do we sell this frame better in the next 6 months? Which might be relevant, but it's less inspiring for the people engaging in that situation.
Got you. So a low, what do you call it, like a low threshold and high ceiling question, right? That leaves enough space to the things that will come. Okay, let's tick that off, right? They're ready to engage in a fairly, relevant, open enough question. What happens then? You mentioned questions from the Moonshot game, but can you a little bit walk us also through the concrete materials and the setup, even before you meet the people, I mean, the participants and players, what do you prepare? And then how does a Moonshot room look like?
So Moonshot comes in a box. So it's really a physical box, and everything you need for this moment is inside this very box. So you open up a playing field, which is kind of a racetrack. At the end of the racetrack, there's the moon. So people very quickly understand, this is kind of a challenge. Who's on the moon first? At least the space race has a bit of a context.
Yes.
Then you have to set up, it's like you don't want people to have to set up for themselves. So you set up the cards, the challenge cards, the item cards. We understand them in a second. Doesn't matter right now. Yes. And you also have like a voting deck that will be relevant in a second. But most uniquely, I guess, for Moonshot are two things. One is Play-Doh.
Yes.
Because people will be using this Play-Doh to build, prototype their first ideas when they answer the question, for example, how does the future of seeing look like?
Okay.
And we have this spinner, which is really just a round circle. I show it to you now, but imagine it's like a, how do you call it? It's a round-shaped disc.
Yes.
And you have a spinner on that disc.
Yes. Okay.
And on that disc, there are a bunch of words like bank, backpack, puzzle, atmosphere, toilet, invisible, key. So words which are really random, but obviously they're not, because we designed them and iterated upon them for many years. And this will be super relevant when we start into stage one, which is developing the ideas for the question.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so everything is set up. What about the chairs? I mean, what about the groups? How do you play this in teams, or how many people do you need, by the way? Anyway, I mean, is that...
Very basic question, right? So for one table, for one setup, you play in teams. That's firstly. Okay. So you're kind of imagine like a good startup team usually has 2 to 3 people. Mm-hmm. Often they say you need a hacker, you need a hipster, and you need a hustler. So here it's just 3 random people from your company who will be 2 to 3 people in a team and roughly 4 teams. So you can imagine we have
roughly 4.
Mm-hmm. 8 to 12 people around the table, 4 teams, and then 2 to 3 people per team. Okay. You put those tables at the edges you put the chairs at the edges of the table, and you'll be sitting. So it's a session which will be, for the most part, accompanied by somebody, by a game master, as we call it, by somebody who leads us through the process. The setup, very important. Usually people will hear like a Moonshot Workshop doesn't just start with like, bam, let's develop ideas. Usually it starts with people just arriving there at the session. You ask them maybe what's your last game you played, or what's something which why do you love this day, or what do you... So like it's just a check-in question. People like arriving at the space, and then they usually do get a small input from me or my partner, which is like, why does innovation need to be played? So they understand how play helps us think more creatively and think in different ways. So they're primed to understand that what we do is not just silly games, because it's far from it. So they get like an input, and then the teams will form, and we have like roughly, we have a different amount of tables depending on how many people are. So if we had 12 people, we have 3 people per team sitting around the edges of one table.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And thank you for also, you know, emphasizing on, you know, how it starts or how participants arrive. You know, I am often at yet another step, you know, how are we invited to that session, right? So what does that, is that a regular Teams invite? Or is there already, you know, some sort of, hey, have you thought about XYZ? And as you mentioned, right, what about your last game, and what hooks you, right?
But it's very important that you start so early. Often, I'm not part of this process where basically people are invited from the team to join the session. I'm like, okay, I'm not part of this. Sometimes I just help the client to say, okay, how do you sell this? But they usually want to do it themselves. They either want to not say so much, or they want to be specific. So, but you're right. You can design this too. It's like, how does the invitation into the session look like?
Cool.
And that depends. But then, yes, we have a check-in question, which often is, what's the last game that you played, and how was that?
Wonderful, wonderful. So we're all there. They're sitting in teams. a hacker, a hustler.
A hipster.
A hipster, yeah, there you go.
And a hustler.
And they are ready, okay? So can you walk us through a typical Moonshot-like session or those stages that you mentioned, right? What will they feel like?
So there are like 3 main stages of Moonshot, which are part of the game experience. The first one happens on Earth. The second one is the race to the moon. And the third one is on the moon, where everyone is there. Well, let's roll back and think about the first one. We're all on Earth. Mm-hmm. We're all sitting there. And we need to build our spaceships first. That's really in round one. in phase one. And building your spaceship in Moonshot means coming up with an idea for the question at hand. So Moonshot can only be started, and that's an important restriction to know, if every team has an idea. An idea can be a business model, an idea, a product, a digital product. Everything is basically possible. 2 things need to be the case. First of all, you must love your idea. You must like your idea. You must build your idea by yourself. And it needs to solve or answer the question which we started at the beginning of the session in one way or another.
Got you. But so if you say, really wait a minute, if you say build it by yourself, is that every individual or as a team already?
As a team, team. So really think about like you are startup founders and you, for the question at hand, you try to build a product, an idea, a business model to solve this in one way or another.
All right. Well, that could take an hour. How long do they have?
How long does it take? So depending on how serious you are about the answers, sometimes you play Moonshot, you're like, I just want people to get the vibe that innovation is less than just sticky notes. You're like, how serious will you be about the ideas? That really depends on how long stage one takes. The fastest you can get through this, 15 to 20 minutes. The longest you can take if you're serious, obviously forever, but I would say like 3 to 4 hours. If you really, really care about the ideas, go for 3 to 4 hours to find the best possible ideas in stage one.
Wonderful.
Let's say it takes an hour, because an hour is like the medium time which you take to build your spaceship. Imagine a spaceship doesn't build itself. There, this disc comes into play. I don't know, should we do like an example how it would look like, Julian?
Of course. I remember that our last conversation was very interactive.
it will be. It is. So imagine we're at our case. We want to develop the future of seeing, right?
Okay.
Like, how does the future of seeing look like? And now we have this spinner.
Okay.
And what we do is we have a bunch of words, so it kind of makes sense. It's like earthly things, and the first one is water. So the first word I spin now is water. And now imagine you're my teammate. I will spin for you because we're not sitting next to each other.
Correct.
And the second word is romantic.
Okay. Woo. And
water and romantic. And to be honest, the magic already starts here because people aren't used to they used to need to come up with serious ideas and it's very stressful, but now suddenly we take them out of their thinking, we take them literally out of the box of their thinking. How does the future of seeing look like? Before I spun this wheel, Julian, you probably neither would have thought about water or romantic, right?
Absolutely. And now I must come up with an idea that combines both.
The idea is that we use those words as anchor words, like they're merely associative anchors for our thinking, to think in slightly different ways than we would usually. So, which combines those words in a way or form, which is kind of like which gets your, which you think could also answer the question. We have romantic and water. What usually happens now for everybody, and I hope you're also, if you're listening now, you're also thinking to yourselves, it's always easier to think when other people have to work and you're thinking freely yourself at home. But for this stage, usually you don't answer it in a minute. You have like an hour. But we're going to slightly brainstorm for the next minute together what it could be. Usually people have an individual brainstorming phase of like 5 to 10 minutes. You would have time to write down different words, different ideas, like what could you do with that? But let's work on this together, Julian, live. We're fast forwarding. Romantic and water.
Ah, wonderful. Well, water, initially I thought that there are these glasses, right, where they have water inside, right? Those lenses, right? So you can quickly tune into the right prescribed vision aid, right? So that's what I thought. It's a very inexpensive.
Even know. So you have like two glasses, and in the middle like a bit like water, right? Bed,
and I think depending on how much water you put in there, I don't know technically how it works. But maybe I'll look it up and put it in the show notes. And then the other word, romantic, I was thinking of some sort of frame that that I can decide in the morning what color it will be, right? So maybe there's a way to say, okay, today I'm wearing, you know, red things and I want to have a red frame or a matching frame. And it really, it's tuning the color, right?
Imagine though, glasses. Mm-hmm. I'm picking up your idea.
Yes, sure. Mm-hmm.
Giving it a bit of a twist. Imagine your glasses would be like chameleon glasses, and they show your mood. Imagine they would change your color based on your mood.
Wonderful. Like those. Was it a foil back in the days where you had to put your thumb on, and then depending on the color, and then you could say, "Oh, yes, wonderful, love it."
But how cool would that be? Mm-hmm. I mean, some people don't want this, right? Because if you're angry, if you're upset, or if you feel cheated, it will show. But I think some people would want to show their vibrance and even give some emotional visibility, basically, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And so the glasses don't help just with your visibility of seeing the world, but also other people see you in a different way. How would we call those glasses, Julian? How would we call those glasses which help us?
Is it like you and me vision, or
you and me vision, like a color? What do we have? Chameleon shifting mood. I like mood idea.
Mood view.
I like it. Mood view or view.
View.
Why not? I think this is the mood but view mood, glasses.
But mood you is also, I like also mood you. It has a little bit more edgy.
Mood you. I love it. So this process, everybody, like we took, like, what did we take? Five minutes maximum.
Yeah, it's not even.
What you would have is basically a lot more time to come up with, like, even more robust ideas. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the idea, even within an hour, will never be robust. Anybody who ever built, like, an idea knows, like, it's a process. You need to test it. You need to talk with people. At some point, you need to ask customers, obviously. But Moonshot kind of takes this part and says, we will do this, but we will not start by doing this because we want to get into a mindset where we play around with ideas, which might feel absolutely like they feel so empowering to feel afterwards. The participants often say that after stage three, they're like, oh my God, I never thought that I could be so creative. Mm. Okay, this is what you get if you do a moonshot session. Your people feel so empowered if they come up with an idea, and often they kind of jokingly say, oh, now I kind of want to quit and I want to register this as a trademark, right? They never really quit, but they get a feeling of intrapreneurship, like of intrapreneurship, however you see it, even 20 minutes into the session. I think that really is the power of stage one, of this earth stage where we combine different words based on a challenge.
And help me out, Till. This first stage, is it somewhat guided with any like instructions? I mean, it's a fairly open question, right? Now, what does a future of XYZ would look like? But I could imagine, do they need some, I don't know, where's the canvas? Where's the key? Where's the process? Where's the sticky notes? No, it really, I mean, how do you do that with, again, four teams, you know, three people each? What does this game master job look like in this phase?
The most important thing is that everybody knows how to approach the question, like in a playful, open way. How do they know this? Not by telling them, but by doing an example together. So what I usually do is I let two people spin at random and do one example, me being kind of on the stage. And then we do like one example together as a group. And it's amazing how many ideas. Imagine the question we just discussed. Everybody in the room, if it's 20 or 30 people or just 12, will be brainstorming different ideas based. And it will tell them you will need to come up with a name at the end, which is very unintuitive. So we do an example together. Then everybody else spins and they write down their words. And then I cut it really, really slim, the different stages. So the first ideation stage is, imagine Julian and me, we're in a one team. But for the first 10 minutes, we will get sticky notes, but we will write ideas individually on that sticky notes based on those two words. Another team might have two totally different words and they're brainstorming individually first. And so they're like, we chop those stages into like individual brainstorming, discussing, showing the other person the ideas he came up with. And then at the end of the stage, we end up building the one idea we agree upon. Imagine mood view could also be like swimming glasses, which like it could be something totally different. But we agree on one idea, which we both are just like, which we feel intuitively drawn towards. We would assist and ask people sometimes during the process, like, where are you at? Like just listen to where they're brainstorming, how they're doing. And at the end of the process, they get Play-Doh, two colors, and they build, I'm not going to claim it's a prototype, but they build a representation of their idea. And that is the end of stage one, where they build an idea out of two random words. They do that individually and then together and end up building a representation out of Play-Doh.
Wonderful, wonderful. And that representation then goes onto that board, right? Walk us through stage two, the race.
So the end of stage one and is kind of that you, so you're sitting around the table, everybody having had, like every team having had two different words. I give you an example how a different set of words could look like. It could be like alarm clock and bomb, right? And you already have intuitive ideas how alarm clock and bomb could be combined. And so the words are very inspiring in a ways that they lead your thinking in ways your thinking wouldn't be led otherwise. So they have different words. Each team has two different words and came up with an idea. Well, now the bridge phase is that each team has a 1 minute pitch to tell the others which idea did they come up with.
Okay, gotcha. So there's pitching.
Imagine we have like this race of rockets before you need to know how each rocket looks like. You see it through the Play-Doh figure, but you also understand it while they pitch, and every team gets a huge round of applause, obviously. That's the end of stage one, and that's the start of stage two, where after each round of applause, each pitch, you will put the idea onto the playing field, and that's the starting. That's the start of the game, or start of the more gameful phase two.
Gotcha. And how does that work? Because you also mentioned, you know, there's a set of challenge cards and item cards, and then there's a voting deck. How does that all play out in that second phase, in that race phase?
Yes, before the race phase starts, we have character cards, which we developed in the last iteration of Moonshot. Okay. And I think that's important to know, because during this game phase, you can have like an external facilitator who's doing this, who's taking care that people give each other feedback and are like there will be motivation and everything. So one person will do that. But we have developed so that there are more tables who don't all need a facilitator. We ended up developing like cards, which, I mean, they look like this. You have like a ludic kitten, and we have like different characters, which people get. So they're responsible for only one singular task throughout the game, like giving big rounds of applause for people who fail, or who to fail miserably. They also deserve a big round of applause, or just have great success in their challenges.
Okay, so the core game master tasks are then distributed to the three players, or even to the table. So it could be
to the table.
Okay, gotcha.
If you don't have somebody who's there all the time, like a game master, basically.
Gotcha.
So you have like this. So each person has like a job, like getting feedback from others, or being like the motivational monkey a table needs.
Cool. Good.
But then you ask the right questions. What happens now? Like, first of all, people need to understand, and for everybody building games or ever using games, the first thing after like you develop ideas like we did, the first thing people always need to know is what is the goal of the game. If you miss by leading that and you start telling them about cards, you miss the context players and people need to understand why they should care about those cards. What is the goal of the game is like a core information you always have to lead with. The goal of Moonshot is to land on the moon, which is stage five before the others do. So it's a race. So people understand, oh, we need to get up the ladder. We need to be closer to the moon before others are. And then I will just ask the question, well, how do we go up the ladder, well, by solving challenge cards. Mm-hmm. And this is where we get into the nitty-gritty things. And I will just ask a team. I will not explain what challenge cards are, but I will just tell them, hey, why don't you just draw a card from the challenge card deck and read it to everybody?
Yes.
And this is what happens now. Like a person, and this is what happens now. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to read one?
I'll read one, yes.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Giant on a rampage. Stomp, stomp. A huge giant appears. He's furious. Where are the innovations for him and his kind? In a fit of rage, he wants to smash you and everything around you. So now the task is the following. What would be the biggest possible version of your idea? So what would be the biggest possible version of your idea? So the one team which draws the challenge now has to live, and that is very interesting because it will be kind of improvised, have to come up as a team, and they have time. They have a very limited time, 60 seconds for this.
Oh, so wow.
Now live, yeah, that's not a lot of time. And Julian, you and me, we're in this together. Mood Hue was the name of our glasses, which change color based on your mood to give more transparency of how you feel.
Yes.
And what would be the biggest possible version of our idea? Let's go.
Wow. Well, I was thinking of having that in a meeting room, right? So you literally walk by the meeting room and then you can see what the mood is like in that room. You can scale it for companies or even, I don't know, like... At a fair, right? What's the mood at a stand, at a specific stand?
I love where you take this because you say not the mood of one individual person, but knowing the mood of the room, like kind of getting a taste of the vibe. Imagine you have the glasses on and like instead of just displaying your own mood, those glasses give you an additional power to decipher the mood of others, basically, because they're smart glasses.
There you go. And then you don't... Actually, you can deactivate that it shows directly on the frame, but maybe you have a little gadget that shows you this summary, right? So you can sense... You can literally see and sense the room with hard data.
And that would be like the biggest version we could think about our idea, because we transport it from knowing or showing your own mood into getting the vibe of an entire room.
Ooh, of a city, of a country. Oh my God.
Oh my God. You could evaluate how a country is doing in a very different way, not just scale the BIP, but get there the mood view of a country.
Yes.
And then we will get a big round of applause. I think our 60 seconds are gone. So after the applause happens, we tried to solve this challenge as well as possible. The giant wanted to smash us if we didn't come up with a big enough solution. And all the other teams now have the task to vote on how creative, how like correct, like how directed, how much we answered the question, and how well we performed as a team. So you have three criteria here within which we base our judgment on the ideas. It's like creativity, originality. It's correctness in terms of answering the question, like preciseness. And in the last zone, one is like cooperation and performance. How well do we perform?
Wonderful.
And... Well, we can't judge ourselves, but how do you feel we did, Julian?
What's the scale? What's on the cards? 1 to 5, 1 to 10?
1 to 10.
1 to 10. I would say we should give us a solid 7, huh?
I think at least, to be honest. I don't want to sound too cocky, but often, so you basically need 7. So you need 20 points now in order to go up the next level. And imagine 3 teams, because you're the fourth one, so 3 teams are voting for you. They're discussing how well we did. And we need to get receive at least 6, 7, and 7, right?
That would
7 is 14, plus 6 would be 20. So... It's important for players to know that. It's important to know what they vote upon, but it's also important for them to know how many points we need to go up one level.
Okay, and it adds an interesting, you know, social dynamic to the magic circle, because now it's not just me, you know, voting on others, but I know that in the next round they will be voting on, you know, whatever challenge I'm solving, right?
Yeah, often at this stage, people are like, oh, I can just give them 1 point, can't I? And they think they're smart about it. And as often as I hear the question, they can't be so smart about it. Because I will not tell them to not do that. I will just ask them a simple question. It's like, what do you think what will happen then?
Yes.
And they realize very quickly that not only is this not really within the rules, because the rules is like you have to vote based upon how creative it was. Like, obviously, you have a reference point. And the other one is they quickly realize, well, everybody else will vote on us. And if you're kind of the mole, or if you're kind of unfair playing, it shows really a lot more your character than the performance of others. And people quickly realize that then. So I think ours was quite worthy of like at least 7 points, maybe even 8 points. Seven would be just good enough to go up a level.
Good enough. Okay, got you. Okay, so lots of, I guess in every round, a challenge card. In every round, a couple of seconds, minutes to address that. And then to pitch it or to present it back so that it can then be voted on. You mentioned there are five fields, right? On that. So we do this at least five times, right? But I might have to do it six or seven times because not everyone will reach the next stage.
Originally, in the first iteration of Moonshot, we tried to build, like, we tried to have stage one being, like, about customers, stage two about, like, something. We absolutely scrapped this. We're like, we want this serendipity of asking weird questions or unplanned questions at different times, because otherwise we might be very, very... way to have a certain hybris that we know when to ask the right question. We don't always.
Okay,
you're right. Sometimes we need to play like five rounds, but if we overperform, if we get like 25 plus points, we even go up two stages to levels.
Okay, so gotcha.
There's like an overshot and there are other ways to gain levels. So every round we're being asked and each other team is being asked a question to further transform their idea into something else, right? We started with our mood glasses and now we like have mood glasses which suddenly can understand the room better. We would have never thought of that if we didn't get that question asked, or if nobody had ever asked us that question.
Gotcha.
And there, that's one of the more, that's one of the less crazy questions. We have very crazy questions which we ask people, like deploy their product in China because everybody's Chinese now. How do you need to change it? How do we need to change our mood glasses if they're deployed in China?
Gotcha.
Or one challenge is that we, instead of trying to solve a question, we can kind of externalize a question to the other teams and they need to try to solve it for us kind of in an open innovation brainstorming format. So the dynamics change entirely.
Gotcha.
Everybody else needs to try to solve a question we raised and we just go up one level anyway and we just choose who helped us the best. So the dynamics will change throughout the game. It's not always just simply change your product into XYZ. Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Until because you mentioned adapting the original idea and other challenges, is that something? Because I'm aware that there are different editions of Moonshot, but is that something that you would tailor to a specific client challenge or workshop, or do you say no? It's good to have those. I wouldn't say generic, but to stick with the original Moonshot set of challenges.
There's two questions to unwrap here. The first one is we have 30 challenges in the deck. You will never play all 30.
Okay.
So it's up to you as the facilitator to either shuffle everything and say it's up to random, or you say, I want those specific questions to be asked in this specific round. So you can tailor make a workshop in choosing when which questions arise in this game round. You know If you play for roughly, like, stage number two takes about 1.5 hour. If you know in the next 90 minutes I want those questions to be asked, you can just put them on top of the game.
Gotcha.
So you're not just a victim of whatever happens. You have some choice over what happens. That's question one. But your actual question was like, well, can we, you also tailor make those challenges? We have built versions for different customers who absolutely did that. So we have a version for Next Media where it's an entire media set. It's a media accelerator in Hamburg, and they wanted questions from the podcast world, from media, even stories, right? And Angry Giant doesn't appear there, but maybe like something which is a lot more media related, also the story part of the card. So we did that. Obviously, you need to really want to put your own branding, your own content on it. The general version is extremely good at showing you so many, a 360 view of how to develop ideas.
Gotcha.
I think we can dive into this. Why would the value be there of adapting this at the end? That would make more sense, I think.
All right, let's do that, because I understood being on the moon is now not the end, right? So let's say all teams made it, you know, let's say 5, 6, 7 rounds, or maybe only 4, depending on the cards that you took. Walk me through what happens on the moon, and didn't you mention yet another card set, the item cards?
Yes.
When do they come to play?
I was just going to dive into this. Item cards. So we have like those challenge cards. I think it's obvious enough for everybody. Like transform your idea in a way. Do it in a pitch like scenario, and then you'll get voted on. And if you do well, you go up. If you don't do well, you just stay on this level. But they're item cards. And those item cards, imagine them as a backpack where you have your tools on, which you take on your trip. And those tools are there to meddle up the game, to change the rules of the game at your own will, or at least on the will of the cards. They give the players agency. And that is really important, because I talked at the beginning of our podcast, I talked about meaningful choices, didn't I? And it's really important if you want to build a good experience to give players the feeling of being able to inscribe themselves into the game beyond the point of transforming their idea in a certain direction. And so those cards, each player starts with 2. There's a backpack on the side, and they help you. Like, for example, one card will it's called Money Talks, and it says the team with the most cash in their purses and wallets moves up one level. Like, that's a real life challenge. You basically, if you play this, you're like, okay, everybody, open your wallets. Look how much money do you actually have in your wallets. That's a bit strange, but Moonshot is really also about breaking expectations and making the unknown possible, or like the unlikely. Like, suddenly it's about your real money. And we can reflect afterwards why that might be relevant. Another one I love is the card Language Police. And it says, instead of speaking normally, a team of your choice must choose a different kind of performance, rhyme, sing, or dance. So suddenly they're not allowed to, imagine, Julian, we wouldn't be allowed to say how we would scale up our product. But we we would still have to do that, but we would have to choose if we do it while rhyming, while dancing, which looks super silly, I can tell you, or while singing, which is just as hilarious.
Wonderful.
There's one important thing here. We can choose, like, all of them are terrific, terrifying, or just like absolutely absurd, but we get to choose which one. And that changes the dynamic. If you design a game, it's very important giving players choices. So the other team will choose that we have to do something different, but we still get to get a feeling of having agency in this situation. So we still get to choose which one of the three modes are we going to choose.
Okay, the three modes, because every item card has three modes, or no?
Not every item card.
Just that one. Okay, got you.
Often, I guess often in Moonshot, you're tasked with something, and you can kind of make another choice within within those tasks. Yes, like, imagine we have a card, it's a challenge card, it's a headstand card, so we have to turn, like, we do the opposite of what the idea wants us to do. We get 10 extra points if we actually do it in a headstand, in an actual headstand, if we pitch doing a headstand. Nobody forces us to do that. The card just gives us the opportunity to act in this way, and we will get rewarded with extra points. Gotcha. So, yes, it will look silly at the end of the day, but the game kind of tells us, yes, if you you get extra points, and it's your choice to do it or not.
Okay.
So those cards are really just there to mix up the game dynamics and give the players the feeling of being able to make their colleagues look a bit silly. And gotcha. People love that.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at our time box still. It feels like we could talk for another hour. Maybe walk us through that last phase, stage three on the moon. And then I, of course, do have some questions about, you know, how to harvest on those experiences, what teams then do afterwards, right? And how do you make it stick? Okay, so back to the moon, or now, first time on the moon. What happens?
So the
there?
First team which reaches level 5, or just at the end of the time, the team basically is declared the winner. They get a big round of applause, and they basically wait until everybody else is also on the moon, which just fast forward. Everybody sits around a crater, a fireplace on the moon. So this is really what it feels like. Mm-hmm. And so this disc, which we use to generate the words, like to generate the words for ideation, this is stage 3 now, we will turn it around and we have like questions on the other side. So we have like words on the one side, and we have questions on the other side.
Okay.
And those questions are reflective questions on the session, as if, when did you feel most creative during the session?
Okay,
or,
gotcha.
What do you think is the most important outcome of this session? Right? What do people think is the most important? Or when did Moonshot feel particularly good and when did it actually not?
Okay.
So there are questions. There's 16 questions. So we have 32 words. Now we have 16 questions. What was your highlight of the session? Or just very simply, is there anything you would like to integrate into your work immediately? So which is really a transfer question. So players, after one another, would spin the wheel, would get like 30 seconds to think about the answer, and then actually can answer however they feel. Like, when did Moonshot feel particularly good? When didn't it?
Yes.
And yeah.
It's like a debriefing question, right?
It's very much, and some of them are inspired by your debriefing cube. They certainly are. Some of them are very Moonshot-like.
Yes.
So it's debriefing questions, but on a wheel, if you want so.
Wonderful.
And so, it gives the feeling of the wheel is in the center, and this is the fireplace. We sit around, and the questions come out like sparks from the fireplace.
Gotcha. So there's like a meaningful conversation, not only about the idea, but then like on a meta level of you know, that magic circle that experiences those teams and individuals went through. Is that then the end? Okay, probably a round of applause, but what is the end? When does it end?
This could be really the end of the experience. So we started off, this is like a 4-hour experience from check-in in the beginning to the idea generation. Well, that really depends how serious you want to be about the ideas, which can range from 20 minutes to like 3 hours. If you really say, we want to have this as a starting point for our innovation practice. Up until the main game experience, up until the debriefing, 4 hours to, I'm going to claim like 4 to 8 hours, depending how serious you were about ideation and how much you care about the debriefing session, which I think should be at least like 15 to 20 minutes, but which can also be like 60 minutes.
Gotcha.
Yes. So this is really the end of this session. There's something that you can do now, a dive into, which is basically think about your own organization and come up with own challenge cards. So what the question now for everybody in the team could be, what are reasons that you are less creative in your team? Like, what are problems and challenges? And they will build Moonshot challenge cards like the Angry Giant would be, but which are just cultural artifacts, which kind of embrace the game logic.
Okay, so you would go through that experience, you would go through the Moonshot experience, but then I as a team or as an individual are asked to write a challenge card. And that's like something I would just take along to my next meeting, huh?
I could. right? So we do this on flip charts. We really give people like some time to like, so it depends a bit on the briefing of the customer. If they think this should be a culture session, I want to do something about innovation culture, this is vital. This is the module we would do. If they want to do something about the product, we have a different module, which we do to make the product better. So if it's about like, so it kind of, it's tailorable, which is good, but also not, because it's, yes, a lot of options have less clarity. But here, I really love that people come up with their own challenge cards, because it takes them into the dynamic of the game. Like, oh, we know those challenge cards, but what would be a challenge card for more organization? And people are very willing to be more honest about what is not great for the company. Like, I did it recently with a client, and they're like, they built the challenge card, the Bermuda triangle of like information, and they talked about how information is always lost and onboarding is awful, and you suddenly understand onboarding is awful, and they would probably never be willing to talk about this, but because they just are supposed to do like in a playful way, everybody's very accepting and receiving of this silly challenge card, which is actually just a cultural artifact of how business management, like knowledge management is being done at this company.
Oh, so that challenge card could become the next starting point for the next round of Moonshot, huh?
And this is what I wanted to come back to. Mm. Like, those challenge cards could be the beginning of an individual version of your own deck, right? Gotcha. So not only could you have a design where your branding is there, but you also could have it at the end. If you take maybe another like half day with your team, you build challenge cards which are relevant for your team, you suddenly have an individual version of Moonshot, which we just need to make it more clear and make it that it works within the scale of the game, and then you get like 10 versions of Moonshot for your team, which are done by your team, which obviously also makes it much more likely that teams are going to use it in their ideation processes and the idea testing process.
Wow. I mean, okay, I understand. And you look, explain how, you know, the flow works, the flowiness of Moonshot, how it creates that space, that safe space for, you know, teams, individuals to address the things that they want to address. So a very versatile, open tool that flows. I understood, look, there's different ways that is it recommended or that you use or your clients use Moonshot, like all the way from educational editions to onboarding or even assessment centers, all the way from, as you said, you know, solving real you know, organizational challenges, product challenges, again, with that low threshold, high ceiling question. So not diving into a specific maybe feature, but then on a broader scale, teaching that meta competence of innovation. What is a very memorable, and I know, look, our time is running out, but what is it like, do you have like two... Max three
though. Examples,
like memorable moments, like where you say, "Wow, that's really an example that shows how powerful Moonshot can be."
Yes, I think I can show you one example which also helps us understand how it can be used, because it is a bit of a multi-tool, right? I said in the beginning, it's like a bit of an innovation lab, but in a box. Innovation lab can do different things. One is that we worked with a team which didn't need to develop new ideas. Usually ideas are never the problem. Everyone has ideas, every company has ideas, but choosing the right ones, that is a problem. And this is how we skip stage one. We don't develop new ideas, but we say, okay, we don't really know which one we should focus on. Moonshot can help you tremendously with that. So with this, it's an HR team. They wanted to scale better as a team because they didn't just want to do consulting. Small startup. And they had like three different ideas how to do this. And we skipped stage one and we said, we throw all those three ideas into Moonshot. Yes. Two of you each will be responsible, like a jockey. Your horse is like your idea, and you're the jockey sitting on this idea. in order to pressure test which idea we should focus on and understand it, expand upon them, and give more context on them. And that was a really, really cool session where it's not about coming up with future ideas of a company, but with pressure test current ideas and understand which ones should we actually spend our time and money on. Very, very good application of Moonshot, of not building new ideas, but testing ideas which have been floating around. Yes. There are always ideas floating around in a company. And we're like, but which one do we know which is good? And then we talk about them, and talking about them destroys them. So play with them, throw them into Moonshot, and you have a better idea how to use them. That's one example, which I guess sheds a totally new light on how to use Moonshot.
Yes, absolutely. And that's like really in that in-game or workshop moment. Do you have any observations of clients, teams that have used Moonshot, like for the midterm or long-term, I mean, impact that session and gameplay had?
So this is now the example I told you about is really a product testing example. It's less a culture example. So that one worked really well. They threw out two of their ideas. They say, we can't really find a way to make them scale, but we definitely know now that we want to test this one, which helps you getting strategic clarity in which one to test and getting like expanding upon one idea. Another one is really the cultural approach. Imagine you doing a Moonshot session, which is a very open-ended question, like how should the future for our company look like? Develop ideas for that, right?
Yes, yeah.
Like any company can ask that question. And you have kind of a Moonshot roundtable at the end of the month, every month, and kind of it's a really nice way to start the mindset of, you were referencing this meta competence and this like willingness to... the creative will to install that within people to say, oh, I can inscribe myself into our company. Maybe you do a transformation. So once we used it while a company was having a big transformation act. And the struggle was here that often what happens, the management said, oh, we do this kind of transformation. The people were like, where do I play a role here? So we made them regularly use Moonshot rounds to come up with ideas of what could be their role in the transformation process through ideas to support this process. So this was then a session which was redone within the company for like month. Every 2 weeks they were like, we have this Moonshot night where we come up with ideas of how we want to facilitate this change. So I think we have this getting the mindset of like innovation can be A, fun, B, I'm actually creative. It's not just up to the innovation department. So I can be part of this process, like supporting intrapreneurship, like innovation or entrepreneurship within a team, and getting the idea of like, yes, creativity can be trained. Like I can be trained to think out of the box in a meaningful way, and playing using Moonshot as a tool helps me in this training. I think so. It's really also a training tool to strengthen your creative muscle. And we have done this with different companies who use Moonshot on a more regular basis. So we have it either in product testing, which works really well, or we have it in training a mindset and this creative muscle I've been talking about right now.
Okay, got you. And so, then it really becomes like a change tool, right? That invitation to those Moonshot nights also becomes like the flag that this is important, right? That this is something we want to foster. We want to strengthen the muscle that we want you to have. You know, whoever is then showing up. Okay. Good. Wow. A lot of questions in my head. I'm trying to find one or two to
wrap it up.
Yes, to wrap it up. I mean, it's hard. It's hard. Maybe one that I always love to ask is, in that structured gameplay, right? Okay, with the board, with the cards, with the teams. And you also mentioned that you might not be at the table at all times and you distribute roles, etc. What is your ultimate facilitation tip for our listeners out there, right? If we use Moonshot or other serious games, what would you recommend?
Especially when you facilitate any kind of creative process, try to avoid the word, no, this isn't right.
Mm-hmm.
I have been witnessing facilitators who said, oh, this idea already exists. You're thinking in the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Maybe you, this absolutely throws water onto this spark, which many people never feel they're part of a creative process. They work in accounting, they work in marketing, I guess, then they feel a product development. Mm-hmm. They don't always feel they're part of the creative process. Once they come up with ideas, really try to do kind of plussing. So plussing really just means, instead of drowning an idea and saying, but I know we all know this, it's like, what do we need that this idea works? Mm. So if you're a facilitator, a person comes up with a spark, maybe not a great idea, instead of saying this isn't great, try to make the idea grow, try to bring other people in. I guess that's really one thing, which is so important, because you drown the spark you're trying to instill. And the second one, and I'm going to do two, I'm sorry, but
yeah,
it's like if anyone facilitates a tool, even you're doing a task with your team and you're part of the innovation unit, and the people say like, oh, why do we even do this? Like, they kind of challenge why we do this. And often if you do more playful approaches, if you do Lego serious play, people sometimes are like, this doesn't really solve a problem, right? Don't really answer this directly, because you will sound defensive. Like, if in any way you answer this, you will sound defensive. But rather, ask the entire group. If one person challenges you and say, why do we do this? Ask, hey, everybody, why do you think we do this? And it will not sound weak. It will actually sound very strong, that instead of getting challenged and trying to defend yourself and say, yada, 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 those statistics show that playing helps, nobody cares here. So you will sound like you're making this up. Ask the other people, and they are usually 90% of people who love this, who are, and they will jump in. They're like, oh, but this helps. Or didn't you forget that? And you will sound so much stronger if you let other people do the defending against those who are unhappy about doing a playful approach. Because some people are unhappy about this. Don't defend yourself. Let others in the workshop do the task for you. And it will feel so souverän in German.
Yes.
So what would you say in English?
I would say, like, it will sound strong, intentfully, well thought through, reflective, wise in some manner, right? I would say self, like, confident also, right? In terms of that you really, not just, you know, facilitate and do, but really believe, deeply believe that it's there. And it for me also conveys the message, I trust the room, right? I trust you with your judgment and view and connecting it to what's relevant to you. So it's making space. It, interestingly, right? When you say, this might be a challenge, right? Or you might perceive it as a challenge, but then plussing, if I may say that, right? And opening up even more space, right? Gaining even more trust through not answering and not challenging, but opening up the sound, unlocking the tapping into the knowledge, the wisdom of the crowd, and unlocking that.
People love this, and you will be perceived as so much wiser and more humble, and just, oh, he knows the shit, he believes in the room. And everybody will, the person who's like questioning you will be very easily calmed down. The other people will feel they're being heard. So I think that's an ultimate tip, because sometimes people will get challenged. And the first initial reaction people will have, and I had that, is like, try to answer this, try to diffuse the question, but you don't diffuse it while arguing yourself.
Absolutely. Wow, Dale, thank you so much for once again, you know, coming on the podcast, sharing all your wisdom and of course the new developments with the Moonshot game. I know we only mentioned a few things, but didn't really have the time to deep dive. I will link everything, right? From Till's contact details to the game's website. And then I might look up those glasses, right? All the way to, you know, anything, Till, that you want us to know. I know there's some, you know, demo cards on the website. I'll share that. I'll even add some pictures if your podcast player, you know, supports that feature. You can see those. And with that, Till, I'm looking forward to continuing our conversation at you know, one of those tea moments or conferences out there. And is there anything else that you want to say at this point?
I think important to know is, like, you for 1 year now, you can actually buy Moonshot in the shop. So we have a lot of materials for facilitators.
Wonderful.
So that you can actually get this yourself if you think this is something I would want to use in my workshops. It is not very cheap. I'm claiming it's also not very expensive. It's around €499. Sometimes it's cheaper, but you get all the videos and all materials to use it actually yourself. And next year, we will start again doing, like, facilitation training, which we stopped for this year for product development reason. Mm-hmm. So if you feel like you want to be part of one of those, that's possible. Mm-hmm. That's everything. Sorry, you were...
But again, you know, but thank you for mentioning that, because that was new to the first time that we had this interview in German, right? It was like facilitator or Moonshot facilitator only, right?
Training.
But now, literally, anyone can add that tool, you know, once they, you know, listen to this podcast, but also, you know, met you or even a gameplay session with that tool. So now anyone can add it. Yeah, that's new. True. Mm-hmm.
It's new. Mm-hmm. It's there in German and English. And we really build, like, an academy behind it that you can access all the materials, all the workshop materials you would need to implement this well. You get, like, videos where you probably see me again. So we wanted to make it possible that you don't need to necessarily have a facilitator training. Yes, it will still be possible. And you don't just need to buy a workshop if you want to do it yourself.
Yes.
Everything is now possible. And that's just a way to open up Moonshot to the world. We say in German, die Welt ist nicht genug. So it's not just the world is not enough. You can be part of the moon. You can get your share.
There you go. And you don't have to stop at a planet Earth. As we just learned, we can go through all the stages and at one point, you know, meet in a crater or in a campfire on the moon.
Please.
With that, Till, thank you so much.
Julian, thank you so much for having me on. It's really an honor being part of the Serious Games podcast. I'm not joking. I love this. Thank you for doing this. And I'm excited to see you around the next time we meet.
Absolutely. For a coffee or a tea to discuss lots of things in the Serious Game community and to all our listeners. I'll, again, have a very long show note list. I will also link the German interview. So if you do speak or can understand German, also worth while listening in. And until then, I wish you a lot of fun with all those Serious Games out there. Bye-bye.
You can reach us at hello@keylearning.net. We're looking forward to your suggestions, comments, and feedback.